So today is our last message on the Sermon on the Mount, on life in the kingdom of God. I mean, they're all about life in the kingdom of God, but in our series. And today we're going to talk about deception. And deception is something that's pretty prevalent in our world. In fact, you know, I have to admit, I was a bit of a deceiver yesterday. I was up on that roof pretending to be a roofer. And at times it was okay, and at other times it might not have been so okay. I got pretty worn out. I don't know how roofers do that all day long. But people in our world today, we have lots of deception happening. People are trying to sell items that are knockoffs of the originals, you know, purses and other things that are of the original. And they say, oh, this is a perfect original. And really, it's a knockoff. It's a fake. It's a deception. I was watching the news just a couple of days ago, and there was these people, they were selling cell phones, high-end cell phones. And, you know, when I was watching it on the news, and they had a picture of a guy holding a cell phone, and it looked just like my cell phone. I thought, you know, it had all the apps there. It looked really good, and they were selling them, and people were buying them. Only to be deceived when they got home to find out that it wasn't a phone at all. It wouldn't accept or receive or send phone calls. It was a scam. It was a deception. And then there was, a number of months ago on the news, there was these fellas in Surrey. It might even be over a year ago now. A couple of gentlemen in Surrey who were saying that they were dentists. But they had no training. They had no licenses. Yet, when their patients came, the patients were deceived into thinking that they were licensed dentists. How many times do we hear of people being deceived by those who are claiming to be financial advisors? Here, I've got just the thing for you. If you invest your money in this, oh man, this, you will triple your money in 4 months. Deception is widespread here and around the world. It's not just a local thing anymore. Deception causes so much pain and damage. Somebody pays for the deception. The deceiver pays and will eventually pay before God, but other people, those people that bought cell phones that can't return them. How many times have we heard of people investing their life savings, their retirement fund, and lose it all? Deception is a hurtful thing. As we wrap up this series on life in the kingdom, we notice Jesus shares a warning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Jesus is saying we can't always take things at face value. Just because it looks good, feels good, sounds right, doesn't make it the real deal. It doesn't make it truth. Just because I say something is true, I can say that this is a cantaloupe. You don't believe me. Because it doesn't even look like a cantaloupe. But the truth is, if it looks like something and sounds great, that doesn't make it always true. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Deception. No wonder people deceive. Satan is the father of all lies. He masquerades as an angel of light. He's the biggest deceiver of all. And so naturally, he's going to pour into those who don't follow the faith, don't follow the truth. Here, this is how you get rich. This is what you can get. You can even deceive the elect. You can share false truths. He's right there. Even Jesus doesn't deny that deception and the power of it. Listen to verses 22 to 23 in Matthew 7. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus is saying, like, there's a lot of power in deception. Some will even come and in my name and be false prophets. And they will even say, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm in there, I'm worshiping with the crowds. They will cast out demons, and they will prophesy, and they will perform miracles. Oh, we think Satan doesn't have any power. Oh, he's got power. Not as much as Jesus. But he is the master deceiver, and he works through people, false teachers. False teachers and deception are real. We are called to watch out for deception, to test those teachings or proclaiming who are proclaiming the message they say is from God. Why would Jesus give such a warning? Why would he say, watch out for false teachers? Well, I think, first of all, Jesus knew how destructive false teachers would be. They look harmless and even sound harmless because they are in sheep's clothing and hanging out with the sheep. They're in the sheep pen sometimes. Sometimes this could be the sheep pen. But Jesus said that they are ferocious wolves. And in fact, they ESV translation says ravenous wolves. Those in Jesus' day would have gotten the message, gotten the picture really clearly. Many of them were shepherds. And they would have known exactly how destructive the wolf was when he got near the sheep, and especially if he got in the sheep pen. They would have known that the wolf would kill some sheep, maim some others, and he would scatter the rest of them. And the flock would be divided. False teachers' actions can cause the same results in the body of believers. We've all heard about it. Some have seen the devastating consequences. Someone comes in and they have a false teaching. It might sound really good and it looks really good. And he grabs some of the sheep and some of the sheep start following him. And then it's revealed for what it really is. And some of the sheep say, forget it. If that's the way it is, I'm not going back. Other sheep are hurt and maimed. And the people say, you know, I'll come back, but I'm not trusting anybody anymore. And many are scattered here and there and abroad. There's devastating consequences when the false prophets come into the flock. Another reason Jesus is warning is because he knew there's always been false prophets, and there always will be. They're not just something from the past. I mean, they were in the Old Testament. I mean, listen to Jeremiah chapter 8, verses, the last half of verse 10 and verse 11 reveals, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wounds of the people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. See, the nation had turned from God, and God was handing them over to the Babylonians for captivity for a while, for 70 years. And yet the prophets, the false prophets, were saying, peace, peace. They were telling the folks what they didn't need to hear. They were telling the folks what was easy. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be peace. It's going to be good. Don't worry about the Babylonians. When the truth is, God wanted his word put forth and to tell the people what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. How many times have we heard speakers share what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear? The false teachers deceived them into believing everything would be great when they were headed for destruction. False teachers weren't just in the Old Testament. Listen to these New Testament writers. And we Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23 again says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus is clearly stating there's false prophets around. And then Jesus states in Matthew 24, verse 11, so this is the end of times, this is the end days, like now. And he says, and many false prophets will appear. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. They will come in the end days, and they will divide the people. They will deceive them. And Paul declares in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. There will be false teachers among the believers. There have been false teachers in the Old Testament. There have been false teachers during the New Testament time. And there are still false teachers today. There are those who are teaching only to build a name for themselves. It's all about them and what they can gain. There are those who would emphasize the love of Jesus but deny having to walk in obedience to the Bible. They'd say, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus loves you. It's okay what you do. There's those that would say that, you know, whatever you do doesn't affect your salvation. I mean, once you're saved, you can go and live whatever life you like. It's okay because Jesus loves you. They omit the teaching of the tough stuff. They deny the cross. And they, too, only say what people want to hear. Others would tell us that all roads lead to heaven. In fact, Mohammed and Buddha and Krishna and Jesus are all just different names for the same God. That's what they would tell you. That's what they would like us to believe. Others will tell us that once we're saved, it doesn't matter what we do. Jesus shared this warning also because he knew what people are like. They want the easy road. Isn't that what we noticed last week? Where was the crowd that we talked about last week? They were on the broad road, the easy road. That's where most people want to hang out. And you know, I was really amazed when I was studying and I found this scripture and I was just sort of shocked. Not that I've never read it before, but it just really hit me. And it's in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 10 to 11. And they say to the seers, see no more visions. And to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way. Get off this path. And stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Wow. The people of Israel were saying, hey, we don't want to hear the truth. Tell us pleasant things. You know, it's all cotton candy and carnivals and everything's great and life is perfect and there's no problems. It's all peace, peace. I was really blown away by that scripture. The Israelites didn't want to hear the truth. And you know, there's people today that don't want to hear the truth. I remember years ago when a couple came into my office and she was married to another man and the marriage wasn't good. And this guy came over from another city and they wanted to know if I would bless their relationship. And I said, the word of God says, let not man separate what he has joined together. Their relationship might not be good, but they're joined together. What are you doing trying to separate them? Well, I've been in church and I've seen that. I don't care if you've been in church and you can walk around until somebody tickles your ear and you find somebody that says it's okay, but it's not okay because the Word of God says it's not okay. Deception. We want the easier way. Things aren't any different today. People are looking for the easy way. We go to the doctor, and the doctor says to us, you know what you really need? You need a change in your lifestyle. You need to be more active, and you need to eat healthier. Oh, but doctor, don't you just have a pill that would make me better? That'd be so much easier than having to get up and exercise every day and eat salads. You know, we want the easy way. And it's no wonder Jesus told us to watch out for the false teachers, the ferocious, the ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. They can do so much damage to the church as a whole. There is only one way to know if a teacher is false, and that is to test them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20, he says, "But their fruit, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." I mean, when we plant a cherry tree, we expect it to produce fruit. I mean, I don't plant a cherry tree and say, "Well, that's okay. It's a nice shade tree." No, we expect it to produce fruit, and we expect it to produce cherries. We don't expect it to produce apples or plums or peaches or pears. When we plant a cherry tree, we expect fruit, and we expect that fruit to be cherries. I mean, we're not interested in how big the cherry tree gets. We're not interested in how good it looks. Wow, look at it. It's got just incredible leaves. And it's huge. But if it doesn't produce cherries, cut it down. All it's going to do is put leaves in my yard in the winter that I got to rake up. It's got to give me something. Jesus is saying that we need to check out whether the one talking to us in the name of the Lord has a lifestyle which produces fruit, which lines up with the Bible, with the Word of God. They might have a big following. They might have thousands of people attending their service or whatever. They might dress good. They might look good. They might sound good. They might even look successful. But if there's no fruit, then we need to be cautious. It's not how nice and how big things are. Jesus says we need to look for the fruit. As Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, he saw a fig tree. And he saw it from a distance, and it looked good. It was lush and green. And when he walked over to it, there were no figs on the tree. So he cursed it. And when they came back the next day, it was withered and died. Jesus is not cursing. Don't get the scripture wrong. Jesus is not cursing the fig tree just to curse a fig tree and get rid of a fig tree. In a sense, he's acting out a parable. He's revealing that the temple and the sacrifices at the temple and the worship were like the fig tree. They looked great from a distance. They looked flashy. Everything was fine. But when you got close, it was hollow and deceptive. There was no reality. It was just a ceremony with nothing behind it. We just need to read the New Testament to see the fruit which should be in the in our lives, actually, and the lives of the others. There are many places in the Bible where we can read and we're told what the fruit should look like. In 1 John, we read that the fruit is to be right doctrine, a right heart, a right morality. And as you read that book of 1 John, you hear those things come out. They're fruit that needs to be evident. It needs to be right doctrine. It needs to line up with God's word 100%, not just 98%. It needs to have a right heart and a right morality. In James chapter 2, verses 17 reveals, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. In other words, James is saying that words, just to be words, are just lip service. If there's no action, the fruit needs to be action. There needs to be action behind our words. If I just say, I love you and I care about you, but I don't have any action, then it's just words. Jesus states in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So Jesus is saying the fruit is not just saying, Lord, Lord, coming to worship service, coming to church. But Jesus is saying the fruit is in doing what he does, what he says. It's obeying, it's obedience. And then, of course, there's Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those need to be evident in the one bringing God's message. All those things and many other things. It all, the person's life has to line up with the Bible. It's not about the elegant speaker or even how close to the truth it might sound. It needs to be 100% on the truth. Jesus says it's all about the fruit. Jesus wants us to test those who bring us the word of the Lord. Paul commends the Bereans for doing such a thing. In Acts 17, verse 11, "Now the Bereans were more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." How many go home after church or during the week and examine the scriptures and say, "I wonder if what Scott said this morning is true"? We need to do that. We need to do that with every message we hear. that's of the Lord. Anybody speaking of the Lord. If I come to you and I say, I think the Lord's saying that you should move to Hawaii, LeClaire. Yeah, you'll go with that. But does the word, and does it line up? Is there fruit in my life when I say that? We need to test it. Does it bear fruit? I would suggest that we need to test our own lives in the same way we test others as well. So, when you come and you take my message and you go, you know, like Pastor Scott, now does he bear fruit? Does his life bear fruit? The same way you test my life or others' lives, we need to test ourselves. We're exhorted in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. May we not be deceived by false teachers. May we look for the fruit in their lives and in our lives. Now, please don't go away from here thinking that I think that everybody else is a false teacher and I'm the only one that's got it right. That's not true. Most people are walking in the truth. But there are false teachers that we need to beware. I mean, the airways are filled with teaching. The Vision Channel is filled with teaching. But it's not all true because they're from different religions. And not all roads lead to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We talked about that last week. There is no other way. He is the truth. We can talk about this for ages. I'm at the end of my notes. I should be going camping now. But we could talk about this for ages, about people who are looking for other people to just tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. We can talk about how destructive it is to the kingdom. Is there fruit? Let us look for the fruit and let us rejoice in the fruit. Let us acknowledge those people who are sharing truth. You know, when Marilyn comes up next week and shares the truth with you, and you check it out, tell her, hey, that was really good. That was something there that, you know, it wasn't as hard as Scott. He speaks all that hard, crummy stuff we don't want to hear about. I'll tell you the truth. Marilyn or Pat's spoken here. Neither of them will ever tell you just what you want to hear. They're going to tell you the truth. From God's word. Because that's what it's all about. Everything else is false. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the true and mighty God. Thank you for the great worship today that focused on you and you as the healer. And Lord, if there are folks here today that are struggling because maybe they've been in a situation where there's been a false teacher that's put lies and deceptions into their heart, we ask that you would come as the healer. The Holy Spirit would minister to them. Thank you, Father, that we can follow you. Thank you for the truth you've given us in your word, in the Bible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes alongside us and verifies with us what the truth is. Thank you for the truth. And may we walk in it and not in deception. May our lives bear the fruit which we expect others to bear. In Jesus' name, amen.